May it please the court, good morning. My name is James McKinley. I'm an attorney with the Federal Defender's Office in Indianapolis representing defendant appellant Mr. Jess Johnson. Mr. Johnson, as you know, is presently serving a term of 77 months imprisonment that was imposed following his plea of guilty to three counts of misbranding.
Appeal, I must say. Five kids die, and you're quarreling with a 77-month sentence?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Well, straight-faced, too?
Obviously.
Yes, lawyers can do anything.
Obviously, Judge, what makes this misbranding case...
I don't understand you. Clearly, highly aggravating factors here. Sentence well within, you know, the statutory limits and so forth. I think it's a light sentence, considering.
But, Your Honor, I submit that what has made this case so difficult, obviously, being the deaths of these five young men who chose to ingest this stuff to get high.
It seems as if it's some terrible, some irrelevance that these kids died.
Our quarrel here, Your Honor, is with the fact that the district court focused almost exclusively on the consequence of the offense, while basically ignoring or giving inadequate consideration to the other sentencing factors, the purposes of punishment required to be considered in formulating an appropriate sentence.
Judge, it seems to me the weight that he gives to the five deaths, that's a judgment call for the district judge. How can we establish criteria for this, say, five? Well, if it were six, that'd be one thing. If we're only three, well, something else. I mean, isn't this... precisely what we want district judges to do, weigh these intangibles. How much weight do you give to this, these consequences?
Well, Your Honor, I recognize that the guidelines here don't capture all of the consequences. The judge made an accurate guideline calculation, which is beyond dispute. It involves and included a sentencing increase or an enhancement under the specific offense characteristic of an offense involving conscious or reckless risk of death or bodily harm.
Counsel, did you calculate what the guideline range would have been had your client been charged with reckless homicide?
Your Honor, the calculation I made was with respect to the involuntary manslaughter guideline.
Mm-hmm.
We offered the court's consideration also. We could not come up with any factually analogous cases, specific cases involved this type mm-hmm. of conduct or this type of consequences, but we asked the court to consider a couple of conceptually analogous cases, including the involuntary manslaughter guideline. That particular guideline involves a base offense level of 18, which is enhanced by five levels given five deaths, would result in a...
I think Judge Easterbrook is right. I think reckless homicide is the appropriate analogy, since they continued selling this stuff after they knew about mm-hmm. these deaths.
Well, I understand, Your Honor, that they...
So what would have been the guideline range?
What would have been the range for reckless homicide?
For reckless homicide, I do not know, Your Honor.
There has to be a range. We've got federal reckless homicide jurisdiction over deaths on Indian reservations and military posts and national forests. So it must be possible to calculate that, and that seems the closest analogy.
We submitted that the most closely analogous offense under the federal guidelines would have been involuntary manslaughter, which would have generated a range of 33 to 41 months in the event that there was involuntary manslaughter of five victims. We also asked the court to consider analogizing this to an instance where there's been a straw purchaser of firearms, for example, who then trades the firearms for guns or money.
Are you talking about 33 times 5?
Pardon me?
Were you talking about a guideline of 33 times 5?
I was talking about the guideline 2K2.1 for
false
statements made in connection with
33.
I'm sorry?
You said 33.
I believe that that particular guideline range would have generated a sentence somewhere in the 24 to 30 month range, even involving 10 firearms that would end up being linked to other crimes. Again, it's not a perfect analogy, but the court in weighing this issue of the need to avoid unwarranted disparity expressed that they saw, you know, the judge saw no comparable case or category of cases, despite our request for the court to consider these other guidelines and how they might play out had these individuals been charged under a different statute. The fact of the matter is, with respect to the guideline calculation itself, the judge abandoned the misbranding guideline or the fraud guideline, and obviously there are circumstances that justify a sentence above that guideline range.
He didn't abandon it. He simply used the power under 5K2.1 and Booker. But we're really in a world of searching for analogies, and that's why I was worried about reckless homicide and not just involuntary manslaughter, which is what the penalty, the crime that's described by speeding once. But this wasn't that, because your client knew and was, as one would say, deliberately indifferent to the risk of repeated deaths.
Well, Your Honor, with regard to my client's continued sales of this chemical compound after learning of
that users had died.
Well, understand that the sales for which they're charged here all occurred during an 11-day period in January of 2005. My client and his business partner became aware of the first death in late February of 2005, at which time they modified their website in an effort to try to make it more difficult for younger people to use it. But
no, it didn't make it more difficult for anybody to use it. It was an effort to try to hide it from authorities, but anybody could still click yes. It was not one iota more difficult to order it.
But, Your Honor, I think it bears consideration that none of the deaths
They change it by putting instructions on saying it is not safe to take more than X micrograms.
No, it's true, Your Honor. They did not submit any warnings or post any warnings in connection with the sales that were made. However, we do submit that the courts, that the district court's decision to use the statutory maximum as a guideline starting point and merely give it the equivalent of a three-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility was error, and we submit that it warrants reversal.
Let's put it this way. There is an enormous difference in the guidelines between involuntary manslaughter, which has a base offense level of 12, and the thing the guideline views as the next step up, which is voluntary manslaughter. That's a base level of 29, and second-degree murder is 38. As between voluntary and involuntary manslaughter, that is between levels 29 and 12, where does this conduct fall?
Your Honor, I don't think this really falls in the scope of being analogized to voluntary manslaughter. There is certainly no intent
on
anybody's part.
That's the problem. Normally we think, actually, of criminal recklessness as a form of intent. That is, you know jolly well what the risk is.
Yes.
And you proceed notwithstanding that risk because you don't care about the welfare of the person who's endangered. And that's a form of intent. And one might think, therefore, that the right analogy under the guidelines is voluntary manslaughter. And then this sentence is quite low compared to what happens with a base offense of 29.
Well, I would say in the involuntary manslaughter guideline, to the extent that it incorporates reckless disregard for death or serious bodily injury, is sufficient to capture the criminal intent that was involved in this case. And again, that should generate a sentence less than the 77 months that was imposed. Same into my rebuttal time. I'll take a seat. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McKinley. Ms. Ide.
Good morning, Your Honors. Donna Ide for the United States. May it please the Court. I think this dialogue with the Court is sort of given evidence of how difficult it was for anybody to fashion a sentence in this case. And the judge did what he was required to do under the guidelines, which is consider the factors in 3553, consider the advisory range, and weigh the factors as he saw fit. And having done that, I don't think there's any question that the sentence was reasonable. Certainly, many people might have differences of opinion on what the sentence should be, but that's not the question. The question is did the judge consider what he was required to consider and articulate his reasons? In this case, if you assume the guideline range was at 2F1.1 or 2B1.1, he considered those and found them to be inadequate, and I think the record reflects a very careful consideration of all of the factors, weighing most heavily the obvious, most serious one of the death of the five boys. He did take into account that the defendants had pled guilty and accepted responsibility and weighed that factor by reducing their sentence somewhat.
But so, how did you pick a number like 77 months? I didn't understand that from what he said.
Seven
months instead of 50 or 100 or what have you.
Well, it's a judgment call, obviously. I think the way he got there was he went to the guideline range. If you take the statutory maximum consecutive is 108 months, which I think the first time that appears is...
Does he have to do that?
I don't think he does.
Because I thought, you know, he has to start with the guideline sentence for this crime. And once he does that and he's considered the guidelines, then I thought he was in 3553A and didn't have to go searching through the rest of the guidelines.
Oh, I think you're right, Your Honor. I think he chose to do that. And under the old departure regime, he would have been required to tie it to the structure of the guidelines, and maybe he was just going back to what he was more familiar with. I don't think he was required to do it, but it shows a careful consideration and a method to it. You know, maybe Your Honor thinks a different way would have been better, but that's not the question. He was required to consider the factors in 3553A, to consider the advisory guidelines, and to consider the facts of the case, and he did all of those things.
I find the odd number of months a little odd. It seems to me once you're out of the guidelines, once you're going to give a different sentence, it seems odd to pick an odd number. Right?
Well,
doesn't it seem odd? You could say 5 years, six years, 10
years. What he did is he just went to the high end of the guideline range for offense level 26 is what he did. That was the high end of the guideline range for offense level 26.
Okay.
So unless the court has any other questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. McKinley. Does he have any time? 1 minute.
Okay. Just very briefly, let me respond to government counsel's contention that the court considered all of the factors in 3553A. The court expressed that, yes, it had considered, and then all those factors militated toward a maximum statutory sentence.
You don't have to run through all the factors. We've said that.
I recognize that, Your Honor, but clearly there are some of the factors here that justify something that don't militate toward the top end. Deterrence can be satisfied both specific and general with a sentence substantially less than the statutory maximum.
Well,
as far
let me ask you the same question I asked your counsel in the last case. When you say the sentence is higher than necessary for punishment and deterrence, what is your criteria of necessity?
Your Honor, the offense here, again, the nature of the offense is strictly misbranding. There's a very significant aggravating circumstances
here. I'm not asking about the nature of the offense. I'm asking, what are your criteria for necessity?
Just use of judgment in recognizing that some of these factors are not promoted by a maximum sentence. This individual is a first-time...
He didn't give him the statutory maximum sentence, did he?
No.
He only gave him 77 months.
Yeah, the statutory maximum here would have been 108 months.
That's right.
So he cut it down by a third. They should be grateful.
He arrived at the sentence again by giving...
Over some 60 months.
Basically a discount for acceptance of responsibility.
That these other factors, as a matter of law, require more than a one-third discount from the maximum.
again, by analogy to the other guidelines that I submit, should have been considered here. A lower sentence would have resulted, and this sentence exceeds the bounds of reasonableness.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. McKinley. And thank you to the defenders for handling this case, and thank you to Ms. Ide.